Here we go. Thank you, Ursula. All right. Teeny tiny lady who is in the pickle jar, and she's making her way over in the wooden wagon. She has to be escorted in because she's in a wagon and it's kind of bouncy and she's stuck in a jar. It would be really bad if she was the jar were to fall over.
It'd land in the snow, though. A day like today, it might land softly in the snow and it'd be all right.
That's true. That's true. As it draws closer to the microphone, we can listen in and find out who is holding on to the teeny tiny lady who will be choosing the letter of the day.
What was the point of you coming down here to check everything out?
Can she hear him? Can the teeny tiny lady hear him?
She's probably scared of him. That's who I think it is.
That's Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, yeah.
Really a little...
Why are you wiping the plates?
All right, I'll give you a hand.
Do you not think it's your job to be responsible?
We're getting the conversation. And Vincent Peters.
Don't make that guy mad. The worst thing to do is ignore that guy. Just answer some kind of answer would be better than no answer.
My son always says that I remind him of Gordon Ramsay.
I could see why your son would say that.
Is that true?
Yeah. Do you think that? Definitely. Totally.
Really? Ursula?
Yep.
Yes?
Yes. Fiery personality.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, fine. What is this crop?
Indignant.
Oh, great. Pumpkin hummus.
Hey, that's a little decorum. We're about
that's
to
a local it. Reference. People know exactly what I'm talking about when I say, pumpkin hummus.
It's a really narrow broadcasting sort of moment there.
Of course it is.
Let's broaden it out. You throw this ball. Yeah, let's talk Seahawks. Oh, Danny. I didn't get a chance to talk to you last week to find out how you were feeling as we were heading to Lambeau Field. How confident were you on a scale of 1 to 10 before the game started?
Scale of 1 to 10, my confidence level was a 4.
Okay, and then, so why don't you walk us through it, like, without getting too excited. So you started a 4, and then you went where?
Went down to about a 2 real quick.
Okay.
So watched the Packers come marching down the field, and I was like, yeah, that's about how I thought, and they're going to need 30 points to score it. And
okay.
They come back, and, well, they get a couple stops, so I started to feel a little encouraged, and I started to get a little, and then they handed it off 3 straight times to Marshawn Lynch, and I was like, oh!
Yeah.
Ah!
Right.
They kick a field goal, and I'm like, Okay. Then they miss a field goal. I'm like,
I need numbers. I was gonna
say, what numbers are those?
I'm not giving you numbers. I'm giving you like
you don't
a graph
need sounds.
Of
you want
my
numbers.
Emotions.
You started at a 4. You dropped to a 2. I want to know where you were as we headed into the fourth quarter.
I was at about a 6.
Oh,
I thought they'd done it. I thought they'd weathered the storm. I thought they had enough time to pull it out, that they'd gotten their head removed from their tuchus. Because when the Seahawks decide they need to score,
they
start running the good offense, they're really good. I don't know why they don't run the good offense until the third quarter. But like once they break out the good offense, that thing's you're like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It's very consistent. You know, the first half has been very consistent in many games. So you got to hand it to that. You know, consistency is a big deal in the NFL, right?
Are they lulling them to sleep? Is it like we're going to get them overconfident, let them get a double-digit lead, and they'll soften up, and then we got them right where we want them because we'll just suck them in the gut?
But,
man, we got to play. It's almost perfect in the second half, and they weren't quite perfect. There was the pass that was dropped. That stunk. Mm-hmm. There was the sack on 3rd and 5. That wasn't very good. There was the blind referee. Well, he wasn't blind. He just apparently – They gave the Packers the ball where Jimmy Graham's helmet landed on the bounce. Mm. It's not even where it first landed. Like, they gave him the bounce.
And they reviewed that, and they still said that the call on the field still stands, that was a first down. The ball was obvious in his arms. His head was on the line. Then you go shoulder and then to the ball. It wasn't a first down, but be that as it may. Let's say we had gotten by Green Bay. Let's say that for some reason the NFL decided to keep the fourth quarter, make it 25 minutes long, which is the Seahawks always need the extension at the end. Would we have been able to have any sort of possibility of beating the 49ers after you saw how they played over the weekend?
Of course, yeah. Seattle was toe-to-toe with them each game this season. Yes, absolutely, there would have been a chance. I think San Francisco's healthier.
Yes.
I think it would have been a tough game. Seattle certainly would have been favored. But, yeah, you can't – like this team – Russell Wilson's amazing.
Yes.
Like he's really – and this is the best regular season he's had, followed by the best playoff run he's had.
Yes.
He was remarkable. And he's good enough to give them a shot in every single game they play. It's incredible. They need to improve. Would they have been likely to get back to the Super Bowl? No. Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't have been likely. But they trailed by 18 points twice in that game. On Sunday, yet here they come storming back. Are you familiar with Teddy KGB?
Felix.
John Malkovich's character from Rounders. It's okay. A great character.
Okay.
He, playing
poker. Hey, Tom is not
eats,
here.
He eats Oreos and opens them up and gets them. But he has a comment where he's playing Mikey McD, Matt Damon's character, and he says, "Kids got alligator blood. Just keep hanging around. Check. The Seahawks have alligator blood.
Ah.
Cannot put him away." And they eventually drag you down. They have alligator blood.
Yeah.
Was the Marshawn experiment a success or a failure?
It was a success. I just wish they wouldn't have used it so much in the first half. Yeah. He was a big boost to this team.
Yes.
And I think he would have been good in a role if you were, when he gets in short yardage, put him down near the goal line,
yeah.
Have him have a couple of runs to get everybody fired up. In the first half, they really did want to see if he could be a lead running back. And I think that was a mistake. And in a game where they turned out to need every possession they got, they gave away a possession, basically, by testing that and saying, hey, we should be able to get this with Marshawn Lynch. And I thought that was a mistake, but I'm glad they brought him back. I think it benefited the team. It just didn't end up. It wasn't enough to. He's not a starting caliber running back in this league anymore.
To me, it felt like it healed a wound. It would have been like if they'd brought back the original Darren for a final season of Bewitched to kind of make it all kind of heal those wounds and reconnect those ties.
Yeah. By the way, that's the second time he's mentioned Bewitched. Hey, Danny, if I were to play a clip from you in August talking about the Seahawks and the chances they have for the season 2019-2020, would it be consistent? Would you have predicted the outcome that we have sitting in front of us right now?
I don't think so. I think I would have predicted them to get back to the Super Bowl.
You did? Okay. All right,
I'm just trying to see. I'm trying to see.
I don't know. I don't have it. I would need a producer.
That's terrible. I expect that I'm going to get pantsed in front of everyone. So I'm trying to. Yes, this is exactly what I thought was going to happen. That's 100%. Like, and if you had listened to the Tom and Curly show when I came on as a guest 5 months ago,
yes.
You would have been ahead of the game. You would have been able to know everything.
Well, I had said to Tom, you know they're not going to go. This is back in August, September after we had you on. I can't remember what you said. I said, Tom, you know they're not going to the Super Bowl, so like, why invest any sort of emotional, you know, equity in them? He goes, because that's what it means to be a fan. And you go and you make yourself vulnerable and you on with the wins and the losses and you ride the sort of roller coaster of the football season. And that's what it means to be a fan.
That's like, correct.
Right. So then you've always said that. Don't hold anything back. Feel the pain. Feel the joy.
Sign up for the misery. That's part of being a fan.
Right.
And if you don't want misery and you just want to root for winners, well, you've got a closet full of L.A. Lakers and Dallas Cowboys gear, and you like wherever LeBron James plays, and it's a terrible – being a bandwagon front runner is one of the worst things you can call someone.
Whoa.
Because it means that you don't accept pain.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Sometimes it stinks,
yeah.
And it's awful, and it makes you grit your teeth and want to punch something, and that's – part of the beauty of life, because that's what life is. You can't enjoy the sweet without the sour. You can't savor a championship if you don't watch Jimmy Graham's head bounce on the ground and then give it to him where his head landed on the bounce.
Yeah. By the way, Sign Up for the Pain is the Mariners' new season for 2020.
Exactly.
Actually, I believe their sign up is the beatings will continue until morale improves.
Thank you, Danny.
You bet. Talk to you soon.
There he goes. All right. By the way, we did talk about Marshawn Lynch, and Marshawn actually did what we consider to be a press conference, which is unheard of for Marshawn Lynch.
Lynch stays in the game.
That's not the press conference.
That would have been a weird press conference if Steve Rabel was there. Lynch stays in the press conference. He takes a question.
But look, I'll say like this, though, right? It's a vulnerable time for a lot of these young dudes, you feel me? They don't be taking care of their chicken right, you feel me? So when y'all done, you go ahead and take care of yourself. So while y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies, you know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken, you feel me? Don't take care of y'all mentals, because, look, we ain't lasting that long. You know, I had a couple players that I played with that, you know what I mean, they no longer here no more. They no longer. So, I mean, you feel me? Start taking care of y'all mentals, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken for when y'all, you know, ready to walk away. You walk away, and you be able to do what you want to do. But I appreciate it. Thank y'all. I have a good day.
Okay, he could have done that as a high school or college you know, graduation speech. I think when you're 33 years old and you're out of the league for 14 months and you start to realize as you look back and then people are coming up to you, have a different perspective on your life. And that's why he's saying to younger guys, take care of your bodies, take care of your chicken. Chicken slash means money.
Mm-hmm.
And just get ready, because I can tell you right now from where I am, what your life is when you're outside of football, now you have to try to figure out how you're going to continue to make money.
Yeah, and you know he's been smart all along. He was promoting himself and his line of merchandise back when he was originally a Seahawk six years ago, and he's a star. Having him back, three games we had him?
Yeah.
In that first game, was it the game against the 49ers?
Yeah.
That time where he scored the touchdown, he's 4 or 5 feet off the ground, flying into the end zone.
Yeah, fun.
I just felt this rush of adrenaline that it's hard to explain. Him being back, it really sort of heals a wound. And
uh-huh.
It would have been so cool to have a press conference after next week's game if they were playing the 49ers and beat him. And then to see him at the Super Bowl again, recreating his "I'm just here so I won't get fined" thing.
Yeah.
Or some new version,
yeah.
"I'm just here so you'll talk about my chicken" or whatever. That would have been so great. I just the next 4 weeks between now and the Super Bowl are much darker than they would have been with the Seahawks out of it, especially with Marshawn.
Yeah.
And without Marshawn, it would have been, those guys talking about making plays and we're going to put more points on the board than the other team. And Marshawn said weird stuff all the time, and we don't have enough of that in Seattle right now. Please, more weird stuff from athletes saying wacky things like this. I don't know how we're going to get through the next couple months.
Do you need more wacky stuff?
I do. I like wacky.
And also because you just simply like the history of the whole thing, he brought up the times where the Seahawks were better. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, just because that was such a great run. That first, the Super Bowl they won, not the one they lost.
Uh-huh.
I mean, again, like what Danny was saying about the sweet and the sour, it's true, you need both to be able to appreciate each. But that first Super Bowl run with Marshawn was just, city's never been like that. City's never been that activated, that energized like that the way it was. I guess maybe the 95 Mariners came close.
Uh-huh.
But the Seahawks was a different kind of thing.
So if you were watching the game now and ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the field, number 10, Jim Zorn.
You're like, yeah, all right. Wow.
Bring Jim Zorn back out.
Wheel him out there and see if he can throw the ball a couple of yards. Yeah, for one play. Or Walter O'Malley would bring a midget to play in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Or bring a guy to, The gimmicks are entertaining. Or the true personality. And Mr. Sherman,
by the way, let me say something, Jim Zorn. He doesn't need to be wheeled out. He's still in great shape.
I know.
That's not fair.
Well,
and he's a coach.
Well,
now.
You brought up Jim Zorn. You started it.
I know, but you put him in a wheelchair.
Well, I was thinking more of a stretcher, wheeled out there, on a gurney.
Oh my God. I don't care about the Queen. You care about the Queen? You want to talk about that? Yes or no?
The only thing that's interesting to me is that if Harry and Meghan, and they've gotten blessing from the Queen to start their young lives together or whatever it was she said out of this big meeting at Sandringham Castle.
If they come to Vancouver,
if they are Vancouver Island. People in BC are thrilled to have royals possibly living half the year in that part of the country. I mean, that's a big deal for them. So,
speaking of royalty, it is now Bernie Sanders who is going after Elizabeth Warren, and the campaign slams Warren as a candidate for the elite. So this is, did somebody find some sort of secret handbook of how you're supposed to talk about her?
Something got leaked or something that was designed for people to have conversations. If you're a Bernie supporter and you run into someone who's supporting Elizabeth Warren, how can you convince them to change their ways and support their candidate instead?
So
this had a lot of information that people could, suggestions for people to how they can talk to Elizabeth Warren supporters about, what she is, how she's different from Bernie, why Bernie is more electable.
Yeah. Well, this is one way you could do it now, because this just came out the other day. She's doing an interview on Cosmopolitan. She's sitting across from this woman. The lady's asking her a bunch of questions. They get down to the final question.
What is your skincare routine?
Oh. Pond's moisturizer.
It's a good one.
Every morning, every night, and I never wash my face.
Right there. If I was Bernie, you want somebody who never washes their face?
I use Dove Ivory. It's 99.44% 100% pure. Like me.
That's a terrible Bernie Sanders imitation.
That wasn't, that wasn't Bernie Sanders.
Nope. Wow.
You're one of those. That's a very French thing.
There you go. I have had, she's passed now, but a much older cousin named Tootsie. And years ago,
Elizabeth Warren thinks she's more interesting than she actually is.
Yeah,
and I know that because I suffer from the same
thing. We all know people.
Here we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Here we go. So I had a cousin, Tootsie.
That's probably somewhere in my 20s. And we're at a big family reunion. And Tootsie is beautiful. And I looked over at her and I said, Toots, how do you have such gorgeous skin? And she said, Pond's. Have moisturizer every morning, every night, and never wash your face. So, from Tootsie to me to you.
Is that the audience from The View laughing in the background there?
Just a charity laugh you get when you're somebody supposed to be famous. All right, so is it okay that our president doesn't wash their face if she becomes elected?
Hey, if it works for her.
apparently her skin is just as nice as Tootsie's or Tootsie's.
Tootsie, yeah.
Finally, Family Feud, which has now made its way to Canada. I don't know why it's taken so long.
I know, it only premiered last month. It's only been on the air for about a month in the...
The Canadians are like, we like this.
One question. Only one answer. Whoever gets it, you're playing for $10,000.
10,000 U.S. or 10,000
Canadian? 10,000 Canadian dollars, which okay. Who knows what that is today.
Okay, that's like $400 U.S.
That's it. Whoever guesses this wins the game. Here we go.
Guys, really has to explain it to everybody, too. Okay. Don't forget, it's Canadian, so they're really nice to one another. But they do have the one hand behind their back, just like you're supposed to, at the podium. It's got everything you expect.
Is that Richard Dawson?
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Name Popeye's favorite food. Andrew, name Popeye's favorite food. What is Popeye's favorite food?
Spinach.
Correct. You ready? Here we go. Popeye's favorite food.
Oh, God.
Show me chicken.
Oh, I skipped ahead. I skipped ahead again.
Favorite food.
Chicken. Oh, my God.
Show me chicken.
Spinach, Sherry.
Same music.
He said, yeah, that makes the most joke.
Yeah. I thought you meant Popeye's chicken.
I bet you meant Popeye's chicken.
Yeah. Chicken!
Now he's doing an imitation of her.
In defense of all of Canada and of that woman and of people in general, I mean, Popeye isn't exactly in the cultural mainstream of currency about pop culture, right? I mean, Popeye is sort of, it's pretty archaic. I remember Popeye cartoons on the TV when I was a kid 40 years ago.
Yeah.
He hasn't really, there hasn't been anything Popeye new in, like, unless there's a video game or something. Popeye is not around.
But
Popeye
this is, woman
so, he's
is
so bankrupt, he's been
this...
licensed to a chicken place, right?
Yes, but this woman, it's not like she's talking to an 11-year-old. The lady looks like she's old enough that she would know.
20s, 30-ish? I don't know. Something like that. But again, how current is Popeye? I don't think Popeye's that current. I think Popeye's a sort of almost borderline esoteric reference these days.
You think so?
Yeah.
Did you know that the federal government accidentally put the wrong amount of iron on a can of spinach and didn't bother to change it because they wanted to give the people an impression that if you eat a lot of spinach, it's got a ton of iron on it. I think they added an extra zero to it or something. So then people are like, hey, I should probably eat a lot of iron. I mean, a lot of spinach. And that was part of the reason then Popeye ate it as well, when he would be able to cut open the can with his magic pipe that could break things open, and then he would throw it all down and it just caused him to have gigantic forearms.
But it wasn't the spinach industry, like product placement, trying to like gin up consumption of spinach by having Popeye eat spinach strong?
Right, plus also the iron, yes.
I just found out there's an addendum to this story, which is that Popeye's chicken has just announced they're going to give $10,000 worth of their product to this woman after... did we say that already?
Yes. No. All in one day. So unfortunately, she's going to get $10,000 worth of chicken delivered to her house. And then does she get it over the lifetime or like every month, or did they just give her $10,000 worth?
It does say, I think it's at her discretion. wants to consume it.
So few people up there in parts of Canada that they're like, you know,
We surveyed people about what's the most important thing to have in your bedroom. And then it says, like, you know, 9 people said a lamp. It's not 9%. It's 9 people.
Plus, the other thing is, if you watch Steve Harvey, it's always, now they're just doing dirty stuff.
Yes, right? Totally, yeah.
We surveyed 400 people. Yeah. They said they find this in their underwear. It's like, really? Really that obvious?
Richard Dawson was so much more subtle.
I like it. By the way, Richard Dawson could never work in today's world.
No.
He kissed everybody.
Well, when he came back for the reboot of the show in the mid-90s, he promised not to kiss anybody anymore.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
My brother and I were watching that show one day, as we did watch a lot of television, and there was a Philadelphia family on there. And the woman said, Richard, we would have brought you a hoagie, but we're afraid to get moody. And I was like, oh, how embarrassing. Because then Richard Dawson goes, I'm sorry, darling, what'd you say? We would have brought you a hoagie, but we're afraid to get moody. He's like, all right, I'm going to just make out with your daughter. Lake Washington Windows and Doors, thank you very much for sponsoring the Tom and Curry Show. Lake Washington Windows and Doors, guess what they do, Felix?
A lot of windows and doors, I would
guess. That's right. Cracked seals, or the door not sitting right, window not sitting right. like washing windows and doors. Do you know Felix is a local historian? It's important to mark time, right?
So this absolutely.
On this day, Felix, back in 1989, I went on the air as a weatherman in Grand Junction, Colorado, with absolutely no experience, no knowledge of weather, no nothing at all. And this is the good old days of television. This is market like 185, when they used to have songs about the station.
Spending time together.
Yeah, all about KJCT.
In a special way. Side by side we do.
Look at the profit margins that must have been available to all those ads they were selling on TV 31 years ago. Whoa.
Slow motion of the reporter turning towards the camera.
Is that a waterfall?
Yeah.
Is that in the studio?
Right outside the back. We used to wash our clothes against them because they paid us a little money. So every year I call the man that hired me, Mike Moran, and I say, hey, Mike Moran.
Hello, John. How are you?
I am well. And as I do, I'm like, I don't normally call him on the air, but I go, hey, Mike Moran. He goes, yo, Mike Moran. I go, hey, Mike Moran, John Curley, it's that time for that call again. Oh, and then Mike goes, hey, Mike. Hey, John, how are you? Good to hear from you. Hey, and so this, I say the same thing every year, and I mean it the same every year. It comes with the same emotion. Mike Moran, in 1989, I sent you a tape, or 1988, I sent you a tape. You took an enormous risk on me. I quit my job, and I went and worked for you. And I will never, ever, ever forgive or forget you because of that.
That's very kind, John. So few people keep in touch like that. That's really nice of you.
What did the first 10 people you offered the job to say?
What did the first person say?
No, that's Felix.
Number one at the top of the list.
That's Felix trying to be funny. So I was in sales. Yeah. I remember when I called Mike Moran to get the job. He called him. And by the way, Mike is now a real estate agent, and he is working the front desk on Monday there in Grand Junction. And if the phone rings, he has to answer that, which is not much different than the way you were as the news director there at KJCT. You were answering the phone.
Nothing ever changes.
Nothing. You're exactly where you were. I got him on the phone when I was in sales, and I called him up. I'm like, hey, Mike Moran, hi, it's John Curley. I know you have my tape. You got a bunch of other tapes on the desk. Why don't you do this? Why don't you go through those tapes? And I'm going to call you next week. What's better for you, Thursday or Friday? We'll do morning or afternoon. I'll have five questions for you. You have five or eight. I did this to him. I worked over and over again. Finally, one day he says, how much money do you make? And I was like, I make like $100,000. He's like, I pay $9,600. You remember that? That's what you were paying for that job back then.
That sounds about right, Chad. That was cruel and unusual punishment, but you took it, you know.
I did. And when I said, why are you going to hire me? You said, because at one point I said, why don't I fly out and we have lunch? And you're like, fly out and have lunch? How much money do you make? And he hired me because you said, you are the only one that is willing to risk something. Everybody else is coming out of college or wherever, and you are actually giving something up in order to come to Grand Junction.
Exactly. And who can't have empathy for that? Because I did the same thing to come to Grand Junction. In fact, John, all 60,000 people here, I think, gave up something to come to Grand Junction.
Yes.
a lot of risk takers here. Yeah. We're all trapped here now.
Well, some of us have gotten out. I remember when I came off the air, on shaky legs, I walked past my wife, who was ashen white at the time. She looked like she had seen a ghost, and the ghost was the ghost of my old job. And I remember walking by you, and you were on the phone fielding calls from angry, disgruntled, or just really mean people that were calling up saying horrible things about me.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, it's no surprise to you, is it? Are they doing that in Seattle too, John? Or
we just don't answer the phone. Yeah,
we don't
anymore.
Take calls here at the station.
Well, it's not a call-in show. I get it.
No, it's not.
Send us a text.
But when you were there, people would go through there all the time, right? You'd hire somebody, and then you knew if they were any good, they were going to leave, right?
Correct. Yep. So I knew you'd be there for quite a while, John. I'm sorry. I got all my humor from John.
Yes, you did.
Is there a museum of broadcasting there in Grand Junction?
Is there a museum? There's not, but we ought to start one.
Yeah, you should.
You know, we have a big bust of your head at the entrance, I think.
Right.
You
know, well, listen.
Appropriate.
Do you have anybody in your life that you can think of that took a chance on you, that you could think of that changed the direction of your life, Mike?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, the guy who hired me at Grand Junction, I don't know, I don't think you ever met him. His name was Paul Unwin.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul, like you, kept in touch for several years, but now it's been probably 15 or 20 years, and I'm not sure where he is.
Was that the guy? Yes. Remember the night the general manager, we don't say his name on the air, had holed himself up in his house, and he was like holding police back? And I remember KJCT was like, should we break this story? Should we send our live? Gosh. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was the sales manager, but John, both our memories aren't what they used to be. So, you know, let's go with general manager.
Much more dramatic.
Well, because the other station K-Rex went there and covered it live. And we're like, oh, my gosh, we can't cover that story. That's like, that's our guy.
That looks really bad for us. Journalistic dilemma, right?
It was.
You don't want to hush up the news, but you don't want to blow in your boss.
Nothing's changed.
Well, listen, Mike Moran, it's been 1 year, and I'm still struggling to get some sort of respect back after getting into television and radio. So my sincerest thanks for taking a chance on me with absolutely zero talent and nothing to show for it. No, it's true. That tape I sent you was just horrible, and I was a horrible weatherman. So thank you for taking the chance.
Oh, come on. And thank you for accepting the job. And, John, again, not too many people keep in touch like this. It's really terrific of you. It really is.
Well, thanks, Mike Moran. Appreciate it. All right, go sell something.
Yeah. Okay, man, I'll try.
Okay.
Yeah, the phone sounds kind of quiet today.
Phones are quiet. We'll talk to you next year. All right, bye, Mike.
It's that special time, yours and mine, as close as we can be.
This was a news theme.
On KJCT, your feeling. On KJCT.
I like how the video kind of dodged up and down there.
Israeli warplanes fired on Syrian.
Oh, the chief's coming on. Okay, Israeli warplanes are not firing on anyone.
Yeah,
right,
that's
now.
Old news, thankfully.
There we go. He's a nice guy. He was such a nice guy. He still is. All right. I was going to ask him about how he got out of TV. Jacob, like, don't.
We had a conference about that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. All right. What do you have? By the way, write to us. You can text us at 989-973. State Roofing takes care of that. 989-973. Or you can also write to us at mynorthwest.com. Do love to hear from you. Letters coming up. Letter of the day, chosen by the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar right now.
KJCT.
All right. Thanks, Felix, for filling in for Tom, who is traveling back from L.A. All right, mailman's coming by. He's got all the letters. Let's see. Hey, mailman. Hey, teeny tiny.
Hello!
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Yeah, right to your door. Lauren Bacall?
I like that.
You were the one, Felix, who told me about Lauren, and I should get her on the show more often.
Yeah, I haven't heard her voice for quite a while. It's nice to see her back on the air.
Let's get to the letters. We'll get to the letter of the day in just a bit, but first, all the rest.
All right, it's about the Seahawks defeat yesterday. Andy on the road less traveled says, hi-ho, fellas, and happy friggin' Monday. Mm-hmm. Seahawks fans, I know you're disappointed, but remember, at the beginning of the season, most so-called experts had the Hawks not likely to make the playoffs, let alone have any success. Yet the Hawks played way above their pay grade. And sure, if Russell Wilson wasn't an athlete, he'd probably be one of those guys that shows up at your door unannounced, wearing a button-down, short-sleeved white shirt and a skinny black tie, clutching pamphlets, asking if you've heard the good news.
Oh, boy.
But in the second half of the season, that little warrior carried that team on his slight yet sturdy shoulders. So have heart, you precious, precious 12s. Better days are on the horizon. Hmm. Now I've got to go take a shower. I feel cheap. Have a great week, guys.
Wow, that was nice from Andy. Let's see, 360, if you need some help getting through the next few months, the XFL is starting in February. Go Dragon!
All right, and about the snow, 253 says, wow, that weather story. I'm truly titillated.
Eric and Botha, once made famous by this show. It seems like we started to accept more snow in the winter as a regular thing. No one even talks about it. I was snowed in and couldn't drive to work even if I had a job. Being retired has its perks. Thanks, Felix, for enhancing our day.
All right. You're welcome. On the Amazon tax, 360 says, hey, Felix, you're a proponent of public housing. Maybe you can explain to the rest of us why public housing costs twice as much as residential housing.
And 425 says, as one person once told me, if you don't see socialism happening in Washington, you are a socialist. Wake up, Felix!
And Greg in Seattle says, yes, everyone ultimately pays property taxes. However, it has been estimated that the portion paid by the typical renter works out to about $100 per unit per month. Homeowners in Seattle pay about $700 per month. This can also be deceptive because many multifamily landlords work out sweet deals with the county city for a reduction in taxes. For example, a new $55 million apartment project in the Roosevelt District has taxes as if it was appraised at $2 million. Mm. Pretty sweet deal. It's who you know.
Plus, don't forget, homeowners are able to deduct the interest. Redmond 425, when will police and media stop referring to the criminal transportation van as the paddy wagon? That is offensive to the Irish. Just kidding. Nobody cares.
206 says in all caps, because Irish people are not oppressed. Irish people were oppressed.
Oh,
much of the time they were first here in this country.
Irish. Yep. And with good reason. You don't want them stinking people around. Dell and Denton, the only way the Redmen would be appropriate mascot is if they were Martians.
Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. And Linda in Bothell says, I searched and searched, could find no reference to a poll that shows 90% of Native Americans are not offended by the Redmen mascot. I did find numbers like that with reference to the Redskins, however, but the methodology of that poll has been questioned.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Linda, for checking that out. Iran 253. Why wait for imminent threat to turn into an attack? Has Congress already forgotten the repercussions of the Clinton failure in taking up bin Laden when he had the opportunity, despite the evidence and urging many of the military leaders at the same time? Should the president have waited for the general to implement a large-scale attack such as 9/11? He was merely responsible for the death and lives, changing injuries and maiming thousands, and capable of much, much more. Good riddance.
And on the rat story from, I think it was Columbia City, 253 says, the dead rat on the sidewalk, a Ken Burns documentary.
Yes, and then Ted TG in the 206 says, for a simple dead rat removal, grab a stick and give it a flick.
Well, that's handy, easy to remember, yeah. And then 253 says, I say kick the rat onto the edge of the street, make it a speed bump for bicycles. I'm sure the city would be out to take care of it, toot sweet. Actually, really, get a bag and dispose of it, princess.
And then also Dale from RemoveMyRatty.com. He says, Venmo me $5, I'll take care of that flea-bitten varmint for ya.
It's not a real website, at least by my search.
Well, I know, I just read what's written. All right.
And Stu, I've been informing the listener.
Okay.
Stu and
that
Burbank,
was horrible. You're a mean, horrible person.
Yeah, you are a mean, horrible person.
And Stu and Burbank cleverly ties two stories together, I think. Mm-hmm. He says, if you polled Native Americans about the dead rat conundrum, I'm sure you'd find out they don't give a rat's ass.
Ah, there you go. Good one. 425, I will never be able to listen to a Civil War American Pioneer documentary the same way. Thanks. And that was the highlight of the show for me.
Yeah,
and I like the fact that I didn't tell you I was going to do it.
It came early.
Yes.
Let people down gently. About Elizabeth Warren's skincare technique, 360 says, listening to Elizabeth Warren talking about Tootsie and skincare has probably prompted our enemies to donate to her campaign.
Family Feud. Jim in the 206. Hey, guys, love the show. Popeye is on every week on the Turner Classic Movie Channel. I watch it with my 12-year-old son. He thinks it's hilarious.
Ooh.
See that?
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Letter of the day, Felix.
Yes. Comes from area code 650, a.k.a. the colonator.
Yeah, the colonator. He had too many colons one time, and it really threw me off. Yes.
Whenever Felix gets tired of all that local historian money, can he do a deep dive into the meteoric rise of Buc-ee's? Has it really been half a century?
Yeah.
P.S. Is it too late to change my potentially rectal-related radio moniker for 2020? Have the boys come up with something snazzy?
I don't really want to. I like the colonator.
Well, that's a good one.
Wait, didn't he call himself the colonator?
I think at one point, yeah, he started calling himself that.
He did it himself.
I'm his fan.
Out of time. Bye-bye.